Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for spending time with me this morning and taking time out of your busy schedule. Today is Monday, September 19th, 2022. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want to continue to report on the ongoing war against women in Iran. This is what my radio program is all about. This is what I dedicate my podcast to on a weekly basis. This is what I write about in my self-published book. The war against women is a real reality. And once again, a young, beautiful, innocent 22-year-old Kurdish girl has been murdered at the hands of the brutal hijab police. The hijab police, of course, patrol the streets, now using video surveillance and visual face recognition technology to hunt down violators of the hijab law. You know, those that are wearing makeup, those that are showing too much hair, those that are not wearing proper hijab. I wrote about this a few years ago in my book, The Roads of Nowruz, and I will read about it to you a little bit later. But 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, her name has become a worldwide name in the last several days. Women all over the world are outraged at the death of this young, beautiful Kurdish girl who was simply visiting relatives from Kurdistan. She came to Tehran with her brother. And as they're riding along in their car, the morality police, of course, they actually will come to your car. You didn't know that, to women riding in the car. And they came and removed her from the vehicle because she was in violation of the hijab law. Her hair was protruding through her cap. Now, some reports say she wasn't wearing a hijab at all, but I find that that was probably not accurate. What they do, though, when they come to your car is they look carefully to see if your hijab is on correctly. And according to all reports, Mahsa was not wearing her hijab correctly. It was improper. And so, as usual, they round you up physically. And in the case of Mahsa, they told her brother, we're going to take her to a detention center for re-education about the Islamic dress code. In other words, she's going to come with us. We're going to set her down and we're going to explain to her and show her how she must properly dress as a Muslim woman. She's going to go to re-education camp. So the brother, of course, complied, and she was taken to a van. Now, eyewitnesses state that she was beaten then as she was being escorted in the van. I've seen video of her being pushed into the van and her head hit the top of the van entrance. When her brother, a few hours later, went to the police station, he was informed that his sister, Masa, was taken to the hospital and it was in a coma. And of course, the brother is outraged. He's shocked. What are you talking about? Masa Amini, according to the doctors, had bleeding in her ears, which is not consistent with a stroke. The morality police have circulated a video on Iran State TV showing supposedly Masa standing amongst other women in the detention center, and all of a sudden she collapses, and they claim that Masa suffered a heart attack, and as a result, because they couldn't resuscitate her quickly enough, that she suffered irreversible brain damage. Now, all of us as human rights activists that follow the stories of women in Iran know, number one, that yes, they do beat women in the streets. Yes, they do get violent. Yes, they do these things to women who are in violation of the Islamic dress code. Witnesses say that's what happened, even though they circulate this propaganda video trying to say, look, she suffered a heart attack. Look, she fainted. We all know as human rights activists that is nothing but cover up for the real crime. There also is CT scans. I don't know how accurate this is. I don't know if this is honestly truthful, but let me just say there are CT scans obtained by hackers that show a fracture to Masa's head. Her skull was fractured, which is consistent with beating, which is what they do with women in violation of the dress code. Now, Masa survived maybe just a couple of days in the ICU of a hospital and then succumbed to her injury. She was pronounced, I think, brain dead when arrived. But what we are being told is that simply the police had nothing to do with this. She was not harmed, but that she succumbed to a heart attack. Now, of course, I want to talk to you from the heart about what I know about what morality police really do. And there are videos constantly up on Instagram and on YouTube that show female and male officers and the way they treat women. It's consistent with what happened to Masa Amini, a 22-year-old Kurdish girl who sustained severe head injury from beatings by Iran's morality police. We know from what the doctors say, again, that the brain strokes do not cause hemorrhaging or bleeding from the ears. You can see up close bruises on her arms. There was reported bruises on her legs. And I want you to hear this morning from Lisa Daftari from the Foreign Desk, who reports very frequently on the happenings in Iran. She says, posting this again, that is the story of Masa, and we will tell her story again and again until the West understands that a regime that will kill a young woman for showing a bit of hair should not be acknowledged. They should not be given billions of dollars to continue their butchery inside and outside Iran. The people of Iran are asking for our help. Where are the humanitarians? Where are the voices of the feminists here in the West? They're very silent. about women's rights in Iran, in other words? Where are the so-called champions of global rights? Where is the mainstream media? I guess when they defend Hamas, Palestinian, Islamic Jihad, and the Taliban, we should expect them to defend the brutal mullahs who have occupied Iran. Lisa, you are so correct. Now, a statement from the White House, from Joe Biden's National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, tweeting on Twitter, quote, "We are deeply concerned by the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who was reportedly beaten in custody by Iran's morality police. Her death is unforgivable. We will continue to hold Iranian officials accountable for such human rights abuses," Jake Sullivan tweeted. I give him credit for that, but let me say something about the Biden administration. Why are you going to the table to negotiate with terrorists about a nuclear deal when they treat women in Iran like this? Why don't you stand up for the rights of women and all people in Iran? Why are you so silent until a tragedy happens? And why is the United States giving a visa to the current president, Ibrahim Raisi, to speak this month at the United Nations? He is a butcher. He is a murderer. Why are we giving him a free pass? I want to go back to a statement now from my dear friend Marzea Amorizeda. Marzea and her friend Miriam spent several months in Evin prison on death row in 2009 for distributing Bibles. That's right. They were to be executed, but the Lord intervened, and miraculously they were freed. Marzea is currently running for state rep in Georgia, and she follows everything on the social media about her former homeland in Iran. And here's what she said in relationship to this horrible beating this morning. She says, "The Islamic Republic regime of Iran killed Mahsa Amini after being brutally beaten by morality police over hijab. After a few days in coma, she died today," and she's referring to this past weekend. "She is not the first and won't be the last victim of this barbaric regime. It is so disappointing to see that the Biden administration is trying to bury the human rights violations under the nuclear deal negotiations with Iran, appeasing this misogynist and these misogynist and criminal leaders in Tehran, and lifting the sanctions and travel ban on criminal government officials," she's referring to the president coming here, "and their family members who support religious persecution and the enforcement of Sharia law. The government," writes Marzea, "is using our tax money to provide a high security for Iran's president, Ibrahim Raisi, who is famous as the butcher because of killing many innocent Iranians. And he's going to attend next month," she meant this month, "of the UN General Assembly in New York City. I cannot understand," Marzea continues to write, "how the United Nations and other similar groups that are supposed to defend humanity and fight against the violation of human rights allow such barbaric regime as the Islamic Republic of Iran to speak at the UN and have a seat on their commission on the status of women in the world." Yeah. Iran has a seat on the United Nations on the status of women, on women's rights. What a joke. The UN and others are like a ridiculous circus with clowns and buffoons who care only about lining their own pockets and securing their own safety and wealth, not about the rights of women around the world. Human rights are meaningless to these institutions. They'd rather make a trade deal and look the other way when it comes to torture, murder, and institutional abuse of women. Worst of all are European women politicians who sweep the truth under the rug. They are worse than the men politicians. How a woman can sit beside a male politician from a nation where gender-based murder is commonplace and shake his bloody hand while the man sees the woman as half a human being that he is and worthy only to satisfy his sexual pleasures or wishes. I cannot imagine. None of these women leaders would last a minute under the brutal and barbaric reality of Islam. This is how women are treated in Iran, according to my dear friend Marzia Amirzadeh, who knows very well exactly what she's talking about. She lived there. Thankfully, she is a citizen here in the United States. She is running for state rep in Georgia. What a beautiful, talented, intelligent lady. And she has written now 2 books. My Love Journey with God is her most recent. She details becoming a Christian and what it's like to live under the barbaric regime that killed, that murdered Mahsa Amini. No, this was not some accidental, unfortunate death. Yeah, that's what the Iran State Security is calling. Her death was unfortunate. No, it was very well orchestrated. It was very well planned because this is how women are treated in Iran. You would think in our country, a free nation, under the Constitution, you would think that women feminists would be rising up all over our country and speaking out against the atrocities against women in Iran. No, you know why? They are so preoccupied with their so-called reproductive rights that they would probably think, well, things are just as bad here as they are in Iran. What do we have to say anything for? No, it is not. And, of course, they're referring to the Roe versus Wade decision. Abortion has never been taken away. It has not been removed. It's been given to the states to make the decision. The Supreme Court ruled that. But you see, when women feminists are so concentrated on this issue, they don't speak out a word in defense of women like Mahsa Amini, who struggle every day of their lives to live in freedom in a country that is barbaric under Sharia law and under hijab law. I want to talk to you about what's been happening this past summer in Iran with this hijab law. They are using surveillance cameras in public places like subways to help identify and then fine women who fail to adhere to the country's mandatory hijab law. Now, President Ebrahim Raisi, who's supposed to be here this month and speak at the UN, is becoming more adamant about enforcing the so-called hijab and chastity law. They are now admitting to using the presence of facial recognition technology in public surveillance cameras. And they want to enforce this law to the maximum because they feel as though that when women don't comply, they're in rebellion. They're revolting. And, of course, they have spoken out that they're going to publish their pictures, the ones that don't have a hijab, on the Internet, and they will be deprived of some social rights for a period of 6 months to 1 year, which means this: women judged to not be in compliance will be barred from entering government offices, banks, or riding on public transportation. It was about 8 years ago in Isfahan in Iran that there was several men on motorcycles that would pull up next to the cars of women without hijabs or women not wearing them properly, and would throw acid in the faces of these women. This went on in October of 2014. The government basically never held those responsible accountable for their actions. But this was after an announcement was made in 2014 about beefing up security patrols against the hijab breakers. And it was after this announcement was made that this began happening in Isfahan. And you see the pictures before and after of women whose faces have been disfigured through acid attacks because these besiegees are men that enforce this law would drive up to women's cars with their windows rolled down, and they would look at them and inspect them, and if they were showing too much hair or not wearing the hijab at all, they were attacked with acid. Acid was thrown in their face. This happened for several weeks in Isfahan in 2014. So please do not come and tell me that this is not the way women are treated in Iran. This is how morality police, this is how citizens, this is how paramilitary groups like the Basiji treat women who are in so-called violation to the hijab law. And now they're using facial recognition technology to track them down. Women have no rights in Iran. They have no rights when it comes to divorce, child custody, anything that has to do with women coming out on the better end of things, it doesn't happen. If that woman goes before a judge and shows her body, her face, this is what my husband is doing to me, the judge immediately assumes that she's not obeying her husband. You need to go back home and do what your husband says. I have a good friend who went through this several years ago before she left Iran and came to Sweden. I wrote her story in my book, The Cross in the Desert. This is a male-dominated, very deeply Islamic society that treats women like second-class citizens. And so for most of us who don't spend time like I do investigating Iran would think, well, you know, okay, this woman was so-called beaten, but there has to be a good reason for it. You wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they do. This is why I'm doing this program, to make us aware. And I want you to do something for me. I want you to take my program. I want you to put it on your timeline. I want you to take the pictures of Mahsa Amini and flood the social media outlet and tell her story. This is the story of a woman who lost her battle for freedom in Iran, and we need to never, ever forget her for what she stood for. And I have a song right now by Michael W. Smith entitled Healing Rain. I pray God's grace and healing rain upon the family and friends and loved ones of Mahsa Amini. Let's listen, and I will come back for a final word.
Healing rain is coming down, is coming nearer to this old town, to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name. I'm not.
I pray, God, that you would send your healing rain down upon the precious family, friends, and loved ones of Mahsa Amini that are suffering over this devastating murder of their dear, beautiful daughter. Your healing rain, Lord, upon the many thousands of protesters standing up for this brave Kurdish girl who simply wanted to just live life in freedom. This is one of the hardest stories I've ever had to talk about. It is unjust. Remember her name, Mahsa Amini. Put my radio program on your page. Put her picture on your page. Be the voice of Iranian women that suffer at the hands of a dictatorship government every day. Don't forget her. Pray for her family. Pray for the Iranian people in their struggle for freedom against a dictatorship government every day. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great week.